This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's Saturday.
I know, right? It's the day to relax and ride around town and visit with people and pop in and do whatever we want to.
You know, my daughter says that she has been invited to a goat barn this weekend for a big celebration. Can you imagine?
To a what? A goat barn?
A goat farm.
A goat farm.
Yes, this guy used to be with Texas Instruments. He's an engineer. And he retired, and he's raising goats.
Wow.
Now, I've heard of everything.
Yeah.
I've been invited to a lot of things, but I never had anybody invite me to a goat farm for a celebration.
Well, I bet you wish you'd put that on the list years ago.
You know I wish that, don't you?
Yeah. Who knew that was a thing?
That's right. And, you know, Prestonwood Baptist Church this weekend is having Trey Gowdy as speaker.
Really?
Yes, and the other guy that wrote the book with him, is his name Kane, I believe. You know, they wrote that new book. Anyway, they're going to be at Prestonwood Baptist Church to talk about their new book.
Well, that'll be fun.
I think it will be. I was shocked, but I didn't know he would come to Dallas, Texas, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, a lot of these speakers do. And so we're not as out of the way as I thought we were.
Well, I guess not.
I did not think we were on the circuit, in other words. But apparently we are on the circuit.
It's a very popular destination.
That's right. we just got to realize that, right?
Yeah. Well, that'll be a lot of fun, then. It sounds like you've got a big weekend.
I do. I think that will be a lot of fun. And I want to tell you something funny that happened this week.
All right.
I, you know, one of my grandchildren is 5 years old, and as I said, you know, they go to private school, and they told her that day that they had to dress as sports figures.
Oh.
So of course, you know, everybody rushes to the store, and one of the 7-year old got the Texas Longhorn deal, you know, and pom poms to go with it. Now the 5-year old, she got A&M. So now on the front, it's as the big T, then the A&M.
Yeah.
So they were doing cheerleading. And, of course, I'm listening to them. And she starts off, the 5-year-old goes, ATM, ATM, ATM. Oh, my gosh, I laugh. I go, ATM?
Well, it's close.
It's close. And I explained to her. You know, the ATM's where you get money,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And that A&M was a university.
Yeah. Well, kids are funny, aren't they?
Kids are so funny. Who would have thought they'd look at that and say, well, that says ATM, you know?
Wow.
Well, the T was so big, you know, on the top, and the other letters were smaller.
Well, yeah.
He thought, you know, that's the way that you say that.
Well, sure. Well, it makes sense now.
Well, certainly, you know. I just didn't want to go to school and be yelling ATM.
Yeah, don't say that. Don't do that in public.
Yeah, I told her, oh, no. You know, you've got to get this right before tomorrow.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, anyway. But, you know, schools nowadays, it's not like, you know, when we went or sent our children. Nowadays, they have something new every day. This is Spirit Week. Uh-huh. And under Spirit Week, they had to dress different every day. Well, on Thursday, it was Wacky Hair Day.
Ooh.
Now, they bought this stuff, and I'd never heard of it. You can actually paint their hair.
Really?
Oh, my gosh, yes. You mix it with something, and then it stiffens, and it will dry like that. You won't even imagine. You remember what the little trolls looked like?
Yeah.
They did the troll hair, and it had pink, it had blue, it had green. It was painted on their hair, and it dried hard.
Like
they were the
mache.
Head of the school. Wow. These two girls were the head of the school.
I may need to try that one day.
Oh, my gosh. I'd never heard of such in my life. But I had seen the little trolls. I just didn't know these little girls were going to end up looking like little trolls.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm sure you probably got lots of pictures, don't you?
I have pictures of this.
Yeah.
We have pictures of anything important that happens in life.
Oh, sure, yeah. And that's definitely at the top of the list.
It was. And I said, man, now I know how they got those little trolls to look like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of this is invented by mothers.
Oh, yes, of course.
I checked on it. And this is how they make all that money. These mothers are smart. They're geniuses, you know.
Yeah.
And so, well, you know, all these little girls would love to do something like that. So they invent it, and they market it, and they make $1 jillion.
Make $1 jillion.
$1 jillion. In the meantime, everybody in America's little girls are happy. They're just, you know, think it's the most wonderful thing in the world.
Oh, yeah. Everybody wins.
It's a winning situation.
Wow.
Someone told me once, Faye, why don't we invent something? And I said, you know, there's just not enough hours for that.
Yeah. But when there's $1 jillion at stake, I'm sure we could probably come up with something.
Yeah, we probably should, because there's so many things that are needed, I'm sure, that we just don't have.
Yeah, and some of the best inventions and the best ideas are really some of the most simplest solutions to everyday problems, but most of us don't think of it.
Well, I think of a lot of things. I just don't do anything about it.
You know? So you procrastinate your inventions.
I did. On my inventions, I kind of let those slip. I had several I knew would work, you know? But I just didn't get it done.
Oh, well, one of these days.
One of these days, I'll have the time. And I'll, you know, get some of my inventions perfected like we need.
Oh, that's brilliant. All right, let's give out that phone number, Faye. Let's start making some people some money.
Okay. Our phone number is 877-588-3330. And we're right next to Ivy Cottage, and they have a lot of good ideas, too. We've seen them, and we know about them, don't we?
The official Ivy Cottage spokesperson.
I am, but I don't get paid. That's the bad part.
You need to start working that out.
I need to work that problem out right there. Well, you know, we have done 8 policies this week.
Really? This week?
We have, and we've just bought another $6 million in policies that we're going to close this next week, one at a time. Each one's like $2 million apiece. So we'll be closing those, and I've been sending notes out on different policies this week. Everybody's getting in them. We were going to do a $5 million policy, and we already sent out invitations. Everybody was getting their money together, getting ready to do it. And our legal team called us and said, there's a problem with this policy. We haven't had that happen in several years. But they did, and they said, you know, we were going to have to cancel it. So we are going to cancel the $5 million, but we do have $6 million in other policies we will be doing this week. So it'll make a little bit of difference for the week, but not much, because we have policies to replace it. Thank goodness they had come in about the same time as that other one.
So yeah,
and we'd been trying to finish this one and do it, you know, for 3 or 4 weeks, and it finally was ready this week. And then the lawyers called on Friday and said we cannot go forward with this policy. We found out that there is a problem, so that's what we did. We just said we cannot do that one, and we haven't notified everybody yet, but we will this next week and notify them and tell them, you know, that we cannot do that, that we will do these other policies, and we have, you know, $6 million in other policies that will be easy to do.
So you're canceling a $5 million but picking up $6 million.
We picked up $6 million. Each one is a $2 million policy. There's 3 of them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to start on those on Monday morning.
Okay.
So Yeah, so it's not going to be a big deal. It's just telling people and changing them over, okay? Yeah.
So that works out pretty well for everybody.
It's going to work out. We're lucky that we had the other policies.
Yeah, and it's a good thing, I guess, that the legal team went and found, and I don't know, I'm sure we probably can't discuss that for legal reasons, but it's good that they found these things out, you know, before, take care of it before everybody's even involved. And so, and that's just another layer of checks and balances to make sure that these are great policies and they're in place to make people money. And these things are always caught before anything happens. And so that's really the brilliant thing.
Well, and the thing is, you know, we check, we double check, we check again, and this was a final deal, and the attorneys caught it and called me yesterday morning and said, we will have to cancel this policy. So I said, boy, that's disappointing, but thank goodness these $2 million policies had come in.
Yeah.
So now we will get people that, and we will have room for a lot of people that just need to, you know, call and say, I want in those policies before we get them all gone, you know.
Brilliant.
Because $6 million doesn't go very far. You know? And I know you think it does, but it doesn't.
Never heard anybody say that before.
Yes. Well, it doesn't, because when you're putting this many people in it, everybody always wants in. So, you know, whether it's 50,000 or 100 or 150, it doesn't go as far as you would think.
Yeah.
And so we will start, you know, first-come basis this next week. Everybody that calls and say, I want in that policy, they will be first in it. I will get them in it first.
So what kind of policies are these that we're looking at? What's the policy holder? What is the condition? Can you tell us about
I believe the guy, now don't quote me on this, I'm thinking that the guy is 60-something.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe that's right. And I'll tell you more as we go through, you know, this next week. But I'd like to get all that closed, and I imagine that it'll close real quickly. I think, you know, it'll close by the Friday. I'm sure we'll have, you know, all three of them done by Friday and get contracts issued for everybody.
Excellent.
So anyway, that's a good sign, and we're, you know, tickled to death to bring these three policies forward for people. And, you know, we had an awful lot of money, you know, 3 months ago, if you remember, you know, and we're getting down to the wire. In fact, people are going to have to start putting extra money in to invest.
Really? Extra?
That's how much that we have, how many policies we have put together. And, of course, this is, it's been a big month for policies. It didn't start out that way. But as I said, we've done 8 this week.
So you know, right now you have an abundance of policies, which means that it's abundance of opportunity for people to invest and make a lot of money and really get the ball started, because you've got to get on this. When you have an opportunity like this, this is the best time to get in on it. If somebody hasn't done this type of investment before, get on the ground floor, get that ball rolling, because you need the time to let the policy mature. You need the time to, once that happens, to invest in other policies. And that's really the large plan of how we use this type of investment, so that people can go ahead and grow their money and have what they need to retire when they want to retire.
That's right, because if you remember 2 or 3 months ago, we were struggling to get enough policies for everybody, and people having to wait, which we don't like for them to have to wait, and they were waiting very nicely, and you know, now there's no wait. You know, we're filling policies as quick as we can, and poor old Claudia is you know, getting everything, all the policies typed and getting them out the door, and she has got her hands full. You know, when you do 8 policies in 1 week, that is a lot of paperwork.
Yeah, it is.
And nobody ever thinks about how much paperwork it takes, you know, to get this done. But everybody has got to sign their contract on every policy we do. And then, as you know, we make a copy for the client, a copy for us, and a copy for the bank, because they act as trustee, as you know, on every policy that we do.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of paperwork this week. And we're, you know, she's working as hard as she can. And someone told me the other day, they said, you know, Claudia is just probably the most super secretary you ever had. and they're absolutely right, because she does. She works very hard, always there to answer clients' questions, to help them. She helps them fill out. Sometimes there's applications. She'll help them with that. She'll help them with anything. She's very, very nice and very, very sweet, and everybody sure does like her.
So when you have eight policies like this, and I know it changes, but when you have eight policies come in 1 week like this, about how many investors can you take into those eight policies?
You know, I cannot tell you how many we did. Mm-hmm. I know there was a lot, but I just don't know how many there were. I just know that we got in so many, the contracts came in for us, and we just kept going, to get them all done. And then after we get the contracts from the providers, then, as you know, we turn around right around and have to sign a contract with the clients to get their money moved where they can get in those policies.
Yeah.
So it takes a coordination between everybody to make it work, to get everything done, on time.
So you've got these new eight that are just coming this past week, and then you've got the policies you've already got going on, and at the same time, you're also continually bidding on new policies, which may come in the next, several weeks or at any time, really. The ball is always moving.
That's right. We're always buying. We cannot ever stop buying policies. We've got to be buying them every week. And, of course, as you know, we're bidding on policies every week. And sometimes we don't know whether we got the policy. Then all of a sudden we get a call from the provider. We're sending the contracts over. You got the policies. So it's really paid off lately, the ones we've been bidding on, because we've been getting a lot of them. And as I said, we had eight that were ready this week that we closed. And now Claudia has to get the contracts out to the people. And so she's doing eight contracts.
Wow.
With a lot of different people in them.
So when you had these eight policies like this, were you expecting to close on these this week? Or was it just a nice coincidence that they all kind of closed and finalized at the same time?
Yes. I did not know that all eight would close on the same day. But they did. They all closed this week. They were sent out to us, and we started working on the close. So Kimberly was emailing people and calling people, telling them, here is the policy. They're ready to go, and, putting people in those and giving them that opportunity to get their money working like it needs to be. So a lot of people's money has started working this week because it was eight policies that we did.
And that really is the key right there, is the money has started to work for people.
That's right. You've got to get that money working for the people. And the quicker it goes out and they get their signature on their contract, the better off they are, because we know then that we've got everything done and all we have to do is sit back and wait till we're told that it has matured. Mm-hmm. And we've got two maturities, Sanders, and I think the other one's Henneman, if I'm not mistaken. But they're just small policies. I think they're $300,000 or $400,000 apiece, and so that will be in people's accounts right away, and they can reinvest that, roll it over. And as I said, most of ours are IRAs, so most of them just roll right back into their account. And then we, reinvest it again.
So when did these two policies, Sanders and the other one, when did they mature? Was it this past week?
Well, one of them did, and I think the other one might have been a couple of weeks ago. And I forgot to mention it because I knew about the other one,
So when a policy matures like that, what this means is it translates into, hey, people are getting paid, the money is going into their accounts, which is the bottom line.
That's the bottom line. Get that money in their account. Make them some interest where they can do it again.
Mm-hmm. And that's really the whole concept, because when we're talking about saving for retirement and growing your money and making sure your wealth is where it needs to be so that you can retire without having to cut back your lifestyle, this is really how the whole process works. It's investing and then reinvesting and then reinvesting, and the ball just keeps going like this. And by the time you get through several years of this, and it takes surprisingly probably less time than I would imagine most people think. You do this for a few years, and then all of a sudden you've doubled your money, and now all of a sudden you have an abundance that people can retire with, and so they don't have to make those cutbacks. I hear so many people say time and time again, my gosh, you know, I think we can retire maybe, you know, a couple of years early if we go ahead and, you know, we don't take quite as many vacations, or, you know, we don't travel quite, or maybe we'll just stay home, or, you know, geez, we just bought a new lake house. Well, what if instead of going on vacation, we just stay there all summer and don't go anywhere? That's not the kind of retirement we're talking about. We're talking about people traveling, buying a new home, having fun, doing the things that they want to do. And in order to do that, you've got to grow your money.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we've had a few people that as they retired, they built a new home. And that's usually not the way it works. But we've had several people had enough money. They've made enough money. And they were ready to retire. They said, you know, we don't want the old house. We don't want to live in that little house. We want a nicer home for retirement. And they built nicer homes. Then I've got all the people that have retired to the lakes. You know, not many people went to East Texas. I think we've got three in East Texas. But the rest of them, you know, as I said, they went to Granbury, Possum Kingdom Lake. They went down by Austin. But they all want to see some water and some golf courses.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them do not want desert when they when they do this. You know, they've had enough desert.
And man, wouldn't that be nice? You know, because we often talk about, or well, sometimes we probably don't talk about it as much as we should. But when you retire, you want to have everything paid off. You want to pay off the house. You want to have the cars paid off. You don't want to have debt when you retire. And man, wouldn't it be nice? Because I'm assuming these people that are building new houses and buying new houses at retirement are paying cash. Man, wouldn't that be nice?
Yes, they are paying cash, and I know how much some of the checks were, and they were pretty large.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't just little bitty checks.
And so on top of building these houses and buying these houses at retirement, they're putting down these large chunks of money to pay for these houses, and then they still have enough money to go ahead and live their retirement. You know, they've got enough in the account for vacations and travels and, you know, emergency money, and yet still have enough money to invest even more. So we're talking about a lot of money, but it didn't just happen to work out that way just by coincidence overnight. They planned, they invested, they did the work, and now they're seeing the rewards for it.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, you've got to plan on this. You've got to work toward it all the time. And if a person just throws their money away, they're not going to have the reward of retiring, you know, wealthy and happy. And nobody's happy if they don't have enough money to retire. I don't care who it is.
Right.
You know, as I said, we talked the other day about these people that have had to go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
And my client was telling me about it, and that's not good. And the other thing, think about this. When you get ready to retire, you want your health to be good, you know? So you need to have all this planned out where if something goes wrong and your health gets bad, that you've got enough money, you can make it, you know, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
And you know, it's really important that first 2 years after you retire to be able to travel, because most people did not travel a lot when they were working because, you know, they only got a week vacation, and some of them didn't even get that. But if you've got a week vacation, you know, you're not going far. You're going to go to Colorado, or you're going to Cozumel, or, you know, someplace like that. But once you retire and you have enough money, you may want to go to Europe for a week or a month. I have people that go over there to Italy for a month.
Wow.
Yes. And people can do things like that.
And, you know, when we say you have to work towards your retirement, we're not actually talking about work. We're talking about just getting the ball started, because it's not like investing in the stock market when you're doing these alternative types of investments like a life settlement. We're not talking about getting up at midnight every day or sitting up at 3 a.m. or up all night worried if something's going to happen that's out of your control and you're going to lose your entire wealth and all your savings. That's not this at all. This is really just a matter of, hey, I want to come in, I want to get some investments going, let's do some initial paperwork, let's set up some accounts, and then from there people can go live their lives. It's really a matter of set it and forget it, because we're just rolling over. Once policies mature, they get their profit, it rolls into another investment, and that's really all there is to it. It's a very simple process. The hardest part is getting started.
I think it is too. Procrastination is a tough deal. I told you about the people that came in the other day, and it had been a long time since they talked to me. And then this week I had the gentleman that called, and he said, Faye, I've been listening to you for 4 years. He owned his own business. He's now sold his business. Now he's coming to us after he sold his business. But he waited till he did that. And I don't know if he was afraid that, he might not have enough money to invest with us, if he wasn't going to make enough profit at retirement to do anything. Mm-hmm. But he did. He sold his business. He's now brought his money over with us. And now, he plans to just travel, do what he wants to do.
Is that the right time to do this? Because I know there's so many people that own their own business. Is it the right time to wait until you sell, or should people really start a little bit beforehand?
Well, most of our people are still in business. They own their own businesses, and they're investing now to get them ready for it. Because, as you know, they don't have a 401k if they own their own business. They don't even have an IRA set up. So it's better, to start investing, 55 at least, maybe 45, 45 to 55, where that you will have enough to retire on, and that you've got this interest coming in all the time. And a lot of people, it's been sitting there and it's in cash and they haven't done anything. And then we have people that's been in the stock market and they want out. They're like me. We're all kind of worried about the stock market because everybody is saying, that it could get really rough. And it has several times lately. But it didn't stay down, thank goodness. But a lot of people are afraid that it might,
So do you think these ups and downs are almost like a Wall Street warning sign of, hey, there may be some bigger issues fixing to come on the horizon? Because you mentioned that they go down, but fortunately this time they've bounced back. But do you think there's a larger issue that's looming in the near future?
Well, I think they know something. I don't know, obviously, because they've been talking lately. I mean, just almost nonstop, about what they think is going to happen, that they think it's going to go down, like serious down. And so, I don't know, because I don't own any stock. I've looked at some people's portfolios, which I do every day. And, I just don't know what will happen.
I don't want to scare people, but should people who are all in the stock market right now, should they be at least skeptical, if nothing else?
Well, our people make up their own minds. When they come to see me, they say, I've got the stock market. I want it out. I had a gentleman a couple of weeks ago. He said, I've got money in 4 different brokerage houses. I want you to take it all, put it in one, and invest it for me. And that's what we did. Now, people in middle age are not real comfortable right now with the stock market. Mm-hmm. The ones that are coming to me, every one of them had it in stock. And they said, we want it out of stock. One couple had just retired. And they said, we need it out of the stock market because if anything happens, we'll have to go back to work. And they go, we do not want to do that.
Oh, no.
And these people have saved all their life. They're the most cautious people that I've seen in a long time. They've been very, very cautious. And, they're taking it out, and they don't want to go back to work. They've sold their company also. So, they just do not want to take the risk, and they don't want to feel like they've been stupid. And, cause themselves a great harm, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it would be a serious a bummer to have worked your whole life, sold your business, saved up all this money, invested in the stock market, and then all of a sudden, right before you go to retire, have something traumatic happen on Wall Street, and then boom, you've lost everything, and your retirement is gone. And that's very
right,
serious...
Because remember, there's no bottom on a stock.
Yeah.
Know? Now, stocks maybe do wonderful for years, but it just takes one time. And when it goes down, that piece of paper is worth a lot less than what you think.
Yeah. So let me just throw out a hypothetical. What happens if millions of people see what's going on and they think the same way and they think, my goodness, there may be some cause for concern. Let's see if we can find some other type of an investment other than Wall Street. Let's see what else we can do. They discover this type of investment, life settlements and things, and they take their money out of Wall Street. If there is a mass, and I don't think there will be, but if there were to be some kind of a mass withdrawal from the stock market, what would happen to those left in the stock market? And I know this is hypothetical and kind of far-fetched.
It happens all the time. There was, well, I know this, that billions was taken out months ago when people got afraid. Mm-hmm. They said, you know, we do not, the really, really wealthy took their money out, billions, because they said, you know, we don't want to get caught. Then there's others who just say, we'll ride it out. We can ride it out. So, you know, it depends what your thinking is, you know. And then, you know, the other day when it went down, there was $8 billion lost.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's right.
$8 billion.
My God, I remember hearing about that now. It took me a minute, but yes, I remember that.
Yeah, $8 billion. Now, that would cause you to have some big ulcers.
Yes.
I mean, I couldn't do it. The strain would be too much for me.
that's what I put it. Big ulcer.
I couldn't take it. My brain could not connect all that. I can tell you that.
Yeah, and we've been talking about this for, I would say, probably 6 months about how, you know, with it growing like this, it's almost like a balloon, and at some point there's a very good realistic possibility that it may burst, and I think we've seen glimpses into what can happen if something else does traumatic happen, kind of like we saw in 2008, 2009. We may have seen glimpses into or foreshadowing of that over the last several weeks and really the last several months, but I think maybe this might be a good reminder of, oh, yeah, because what was that? It was almost 10 years ago when it crashed the last time, and people may have built their wealth back up. They may have forgotten about what happened. And so this is really a great time, especially here and right now, exactly where we're located, because of all of the policy abundances that you have right now, the available policies to invest in, and the policies that you're always continuing to bid on. So if somebody is kind of teeter-tottering on the fence thinking, gosh, you know, this is kind of a serious thing. We could lose all of our retirement and then either not retire or, if we are retired, go back to work. So maybe this is a good time to at least take some of it out of the stock market, because you always say it's good to diversify.
I always believe everybody should be diversified. And the other thing is, you know, you should only leave in what you can afford to lose. And however much you can afford to lose, leave it in. And don't worry about it. But if you are worried about it, you know, you should talk to your wife about it and make an intelligent decision. And one of the intelligent decisions we made a couple of years back is not to buy anything from a broker. You know, we don't buy anything from brokers anymore. It has to go through a licensed provider, and we're direct. We are direct. Somebody asked me that question this week. Are you still buying from brokers? No, not on your life. We know what can happen if you buy from brokers, and we are direct on everything we do.
What can happen when buying from a broker? What's the downside?
Well, they may be lying to you. You know? They may not be doing escrow like we do. They may not have all that with a bank in charge of it. And if they're not, you're taking a lot of risk.
That could be dangerous.
You may not know it at the time. And then you go and ask them. You know, is all this at a bank? Oh, no, we take care of it ourselves. Well, that is a red flags have just come up.
So it's another safety precaution, another layer of protection you have.
That's right.
Not in place for investors.
Yeah, don't do it. That and not buying policies on old people, as we always talk about. We're still waiting on those policies to mature, I tell you. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because
but we have had an awful lot of policies mature, and we are proud of that.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a fantastic track record, especially we were talking about several months ago how 2017 was such a record-breaking year, and it looks like, and I know we're well, you know, into the fourth month and almost into the fifth month, we're approaching the halfway mark of the year, but so far the first half of 2018 has just been gangbusters for making money.
Yes, it has. And, you know, we've had six maturities. And we're just, you know, first quarter. So we've got three quarters to go, and hopefully we'll have lots and lots of maturities. Mm-hmm. It's usually when we least expect it that we'll have, you know, a large maturity. And we have some large policies, as you know. We've got a lot of them. And so I'm looking forward to a lot of them coming due this summer. And because I know we're going to have a lot of them due this year, I think.
Yeah,
and so, then we'll have some surprises. There'll be some that'll come due that we're not expecting. There always is, and then we'll have some go over that we were expecting to be on time. You know, that it all works out in the end. It all washes out. Okay.
Yeah, and when we talk about the stock market, we don't mean, you know, to go ahead and, you know, close your account and get out of it, because it works for some people, and so, and if it's working, then great. But just be aware that there are other alternatives that are much safer, that are much I guess less nerve-wracking, causing less anxiety. And with any type of investment, there's always risk. But when you invest in a life settlement, there are really three main risks, and they're really, relatively speaking, rather minute, right?
Well, the first risk, and it's the biggest risk of all, is the policies can go over. And you have to be accredited in order to stand the risk. Because somebody that's not accredited, they might say, oh, my gosh, you know, I can't stand it. It went over. I had three policies go over well. We might have had three that came due last year. And I've had somebody come in and say, well, I've got these policies that, you know, did not pay when they should have. And I look back in their portfolio. You know, they had two or three that paid last year. So, you know, that's just common deal. Some of them are like three came due last year in 1 year. And now he's got three that are behind and haven't come due yet. But he will still get paid. He will still get all his money. He'll still get his profit. It's just going to be, you know, it'll take just a little bit off of your profit, but it won't be a lot. So the biggest risk is it going over and you're having to pay premiums. The premiums, most of them, in the last 3 years have not been high. But if you're in that blend, you're still in a high premium, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So those elderly people are still waving out the window. They have not, you know, passed away. And I think they're in pretty good health. That's what worries me so much.
Yeah.
You know, elderly people, I don't know. They've just got a lot of fortitude. Let me say that.
Sure. Well, I think it's probably, this is unscientific, but most people, you know, who live to be in their 90s and 94, 96, they're probably going strong and probably going to outlive you and me combined.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I told you last week about that lady that's going to do a joint deal with her mother.
Yeah.
And you know, when I question the sanity of this, you
this
know?
Is a lady that's 99 years old, right?
And she is playing cards every day. Let me tell you something. If your mind is good enough to play cards, wow.
I mean, that's not the type of a policy that you're investing in at all.
No, we're not doing that. Not ever. I want those 50 and 60 year olds to invest, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. All right, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, every Saturday morning around this time, we start getting into trivia, and you always bring interesting, fun things to the table. So what are we talking about today?
Cinco de Mayo.
Ah, right around. Oh,
Cinco de Mayo.
Right around the corner.
It comes up May 5th. Now, do you know why we celebrate Cinco de Mayo?
It is Mexican Independence Day.
No, it's not. A lot of people think that. That's what's wrong. It's not. It was because Benito Juarez in 1861 was president of Mexico, and the Mexico was in turmoil, internal strife, and they defaulted on their loans to the foreign countries. You wouldn't even think they were borrowing from other countries back then. They had loans out to France, Britain, and Spain, okay? And they sent their naval forces to Veracruz, and they demanded payment. Well, Britain and Spain, they negotiated with Mexico, and they withdrew, went home. But we had France, who did not go home. And do you know who ruled France back then?
I don't know.
Napoleon.
Ah.
And he wasn't going to take no for an answer. He thought it over, and he said, look, we're going to just try to take their land from Mexico. This resulted in the Battle of Pueblo. That is why we celebrate Cinco de Mayo.
Really?
Yes. It was an unlikely battle. Nobody thought Mexico could win. But they won the war that day on May 5th, 1862.
All right.
And that's why we celebrate Cinco de Mayo.
Nice.
Yeah. And think of it this way. All the things that happened on Cinco de Mayo. We have parades. Oh, my. We have mariachi bands that are wonderful. You know? And then all the food. The other thing is the little girls and the women dress up. They're very colorful. You know, these dance costumes. I love all that. And they eat lots of enchiladas all over the country. Tacos, cabrito, you name it.
So delicious.
You talk about fiesta time. It is fiesta time
On
May the 5th. All over Texas, California, and New Mexico.
Yeah.
They're the states that really celebrate Cinco de Mayo. San Antonio, Texas, will be one of the biggest celebrations. They will have many parades in San Antonio. There'll be parades in other places, but it won't be as grand as San Antonio. They'll have lots of activities down on the Riverwalk, you know, and it's a colorful, fabulous day. Now, this is the strange part. You would think that Mexico would celebrate for several days. Mexico does not celebrate as much as we do for Cinco de Mayo.
Really?
Yeah. I read up on it, and they said, no, Mexico does not celebrate like the United States does.
Huh.
That's kind of shocking, isn't it?
I am a little shocked, yeah.
Because I thought, you know, I mean, it's the Battle of Pueblo for them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, here was Napoleon, and his army was going to take over Mexico if he could. And he was going to take a lot of their land because they had defaulted on their debt. And, I mean, you would think, oh, my gosh, these people would really remember May the 5th. And, you know, a lot of people think it's Mexico Independence Day, and it's not.
Huh.
It's on the 15th. But Cinco de Mayo is May the 5th, 1862. And I had no idea, I did not remember, that they had debt with Spain and Britain and France. Can you imagine? They were borrowing money in the 1800s from these foreign countries.
You know, I'm sure I learned that in school or heard it at some point, but I guess I had just forgotten about it or didn't realize it or something because it's not on the top of my brain.
Well, I remember the Battle of Pueblo because it was such a famous battle, but I did not remember what happened at Pueblo, you know?
Yeah.
that they won against France. And I knew it was, you know, a very important battle for the country of Mexico, and they should celebrate it more than they do. I don't understand why the United States celebrates it a lot more.
Because we basically look for any excuse to party.
I thought about that. I think you're absolutely right. If there's a party going on, we want to be involved. The U.S. is all for it.
And we will drag anything out as long as we possibly can.
That's right. And they said a lot of people go the 4th and the 5th, you know, and it's really the 5th.
Pretty soon it'll be a week-long celebration.
That's exactly right. More parades, more fun, you know, and the bands. I love the mariachi music. I mean, you know, and everybody tells me the mariachi bands will play anywhere, anytime.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're a happy group of people.
Yeah, and that's true. Anytime you hear mariachi music, it usually puts most people in a really good festive mood.
It does. And most of them have been playing for years. You realize that?
Yes.
Those guitars, those guys are good on the guitar.
Oh, gosh, they're so talented. I watch them talented. Sometimes, and I wish, my goodness, I wish I could play like that.
Yeah, and the costumes they wear. I love the costumes. They're always great, and the big hats.
Yeah.
Big sombreros, you know?
Yeah.
And it makes everybody want to eat, party, and go siesta.
Yeah, and sometimes you can go to various restaurants and you can get food served in a sombrero, like chips and things.
Yes, I hadn't thought about that, but you're absolutely right.
Mm.
And, of course, the only food that I do not care for is guacamole. And now they put it in everything.
Oh, really? You don't like guacamole?
No. When you get a salad, there's that guacamole on top. And it's not one of my favorite things.
Wow.
Now, the chips and the dip and the hot sauce, I'm right there for that.
Yeah.
But guacamole is one of the few things that I'm not real fond of.
Well, it just so happens that Cinco de Mayo is 2 weeks from today. It's on a Saturday this year.
That's right. It's on a Saturday. So people can celebrate more. They can go to the parades. They can listen to the bands.
Yeah.
It's just a really fun weekend.
And we'll start the party. You know, we'll plan on leaving work early on Friday, and then that'll turn into, well, I probably shouldn't even go in at all on Friday, and then it'll turn into a half a day on Thursday.
You're going to get some people fired is what you're going to do. They won't even have a job come Monday morning. Oh, my gosh. They'll be telling their employers it's a federal holiday.
Yeah.
They'll be saying, you know, it's a federal holiday.
Well, see, now you just introduced that, so look at that. You even taking it further.
I know. Well, as you know, if it's a federal holiday, you get Monday also.
Yay!
Yeah, see, that's a four-day weekend right there I created.
Look how you did that.
I know. Aren't I smart? Oh, my gosh.
So if you're looking to celebrate in a couple of weeks, you say that San Antonio is really the Cinco de Mayo hotspot in Texas.
I think it is, because I've been there and it was great and it was wonderful and it was just craziness all day long. And I don't remember what all they're going to have. I should have looked that up and I didn't. But I know there'll be lots of fiesta there.
Oh, yeah.
Big fiesta.
So make your plans early.
Oh, yeah, make your plans early. As we said, leave on Thursday. You'll get there in plenty of time. you can just have fun all weekend. I mean, it'll be a glorious time for all.
Yeah, it will. Oh, my goodness.
And your children will come home too sleepy, too tired, probably have stomach aches. You know, it's going to be a fun deal.
Yeah, well, that's always fun. Stomach ache, if you didn't have a stomach ache, you didn't really have a good time.
That's right. You didn't eat enough, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Brilliant. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, there's nobody in the office right now because it's Saturday. But on Monday is when everybody gets back to work. So you can call first thing Monday. And like we were talking about earlier, this is really a great time to go ahead and make that call. Because I know last week you were full. I think it was last Wednesday or Thursday. One of those days last week.
Thursday was tough. We had lots and lots of people in.
Uh-huh.
I think every hour on the hour on Wednesday. And we did a lot of work for people, got a lot of people new accounts, got their money transferred that they were needing to get out of where they were. We had some companies that were closing because they've sold, and people had to get their IRAs moved. So we did a lot of things like that, and got people started, which, you know, a lot of their relatives are already with us, their friends are with us. And it made a big difference.
And so now this coming week, it'll be a brand new week. You've got available times for appointments to people to come in. And you've also got, like we were talking about, a lot of investment opportunities because you have all these new investments that you just closed or policies that you just closed on. So the opportunity is there. So for people that came in last week, you mentioned that you had a lot of new clients come in and open up new accounts.
We did.
And things like
yes.
that. What are some of the things, what is the reaction of people who are used to traditional types of investments come over understand what the life settlement is about. What are they saying? What's their reaction?
Well, this week they were all excited. It was different than sometimes people, like, you know, have concerns, or, you know, we have to go through a lot of things, and we meet two or three times. This was a group that already made up their mind, you know, before they came.
Uh-huh.
They said, you know, we're here, we want to open our accounts. And they said, what do we have to do to open an account? You know, they had to get me on the ball, because I was saying, well, now we need to go over this. And I went over the entire structure, how it works, how they're going to get paid, what the safety net on it is. And then I said, okay, now we can open an account. So, as I said, we opened accounts for several people. They had money in several locations, so we had to do a lot of extra paperwork, you know, to do those transfers for them. When you have your IRAs or even 401ks in several locations, you've got to transfer all that and roll it over. There's no charge. That's the biggest question. People do not know there's no charge to do a rollover. Most people think it's going to cost them something, but it's not. The other side will not charge, and we will not charge for that rollover. Nobody charges for a rollover, okay?
And you're avoiding taxes that way.
That's right. You do not want to do anything but a rollover, because you would have to start paying taxes right now. So we do prevent that from happening. We just do a rollover, and it's just like you were at the other place. The same rules apply. And the only difference is, if you've got a 401k with your company, it becomes an IRA, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When we roll that over from a 401k, it becomes an IRA.
And that's totally fine, because, you know,
it's the same thing. It's just individual then.
The idea is to make money and not pay money. So you don't want to pay the taxes. You don't want to pay these fees. And this is a great way to avoid all that, so that you're making money for retirement.
That's exactly right. You know, you can put money in a CD, but you're not going to make anything. You're not going to grow it.
Yeah.
If you're interested in growing money, a CD won't grow your money. It's safe. But do you need safety, or do you need growth and safety?
So a CD is basically just a storage.
That's all it is. It's a storage place to put your money and just leave it there and go on about your business.
Yeah.
It won't make a dime. You know, it's not going to make hardly anything. But it's safe. You can just leave it there. But if you actually want to increase the income that's in your account, this is a good way to do it.
So do people come in, do you find that people, really, they're not really sure about how much money it actually takes to retire? Because I'm sure it takes more money to retire than most people think. Do you find that people come in and they're maybe surprised at how much they really should have?
That's right. It takes a lot more than you and I would have believed several years ago. Most people don't realize how much it's going to take when they really get down to it. And if you spend all of it on the first 10 years, honey, you may be in trouble for that next 10 years.
Yeah.
You know? And people I talk to do not want to go back to work. The only man I've ever met that went back to work, he retired early, and he's already thinking, what can I do?
Oh,
it's boring being at home, let me tell you.
So he may go back to work because he wants to, just
because
he's bored.
Because
he has to.
That's right.
And boy, I tell you what, there is such a different mindset when you go back to work because you want to. You need something to do, some busy work, as opposed to having to. It's a totally different mindset.
Well, and not only that, is when you go back to work, you're around friends. You've got somebody to talk to do something with.
Yeah.
Being home, just, man, you should try that. I mean, you'll find out it's not fun, you know, especially if your wife is not working. Because it's too much togetherness, folks.
Yeah.
It's a lot of togetherness.
Yeah, you tend to lose your identity and your purpose. And people really need, when they get up in the morning, they need a place to go a lot of times. Or
besides the coffee shop.
Exactly, exactly. They need somebody to depend on them for something.
That's right. You've got to be important. Did you know that?
Yes.
And men are important to us. They make a living. They work hard. They take abuse to their body, and if they come home and just sit there, it's a whole different ball game.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's almost like a crash and burn type of thing. All
it
these
really
years
is.
Of hustle, 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 and then all of a sudden you go home on your first day of retirement, and it's like, what do I do?
Yeah, What are we going to do? Yeah. What are we going to do? We got to find something to do.
So we talk about how much money it takes to retire. And for everybody, it's different. It depends on, you know, what type of lifestyle you're used to. You know, how much are you going to need? How much do you plan to do? What do you want to do? Are you traveling? Are we, you know, building houses? Are we just staying at home? You know, it depends on your plan. So everybody, what they need for retirement, everybody is a little bit different. But the good news is that it's not unattainable. So I think a lot of people think, my goodness, I need, you know, so much money and, you know, I want to retire in 10 years. There's no way on this earth that I'm ever going to make enough money to retire in 10 years. That's not true. With this type of investment, your risk of losing your investment is so low, especially, you know, when people are, you know, used to the stock market and that, you know, everything can be wiped out overnight. A life settlement, it doesn't work that way because you know what you're going to make and you just need to get started. It's like as soon as you get the ball rolling, you're already underway. That's, I'd say, probably 90% of the battle right there.
That's right, is coming in, getting everything set up for you. And as we've talked many times, you do not have to get up at midnight and check your account because all we're waiting is on a maturity, you know? We're waiting on this to mature. And once it does, you get paid. We roll it over again and do the same thing again many, many times in the next 5 to 10 years.
And that's how the whole process works. It's an investment. It's not just a boom, you hit it once and then it's like winning the lottery. This is something that you plan out. And we were talking about, you know, the money that people need after they retire. The good news is, you know, because you were saying earlier that, you know, some people may have to go back to work after 10 years. You want to avoid that. So what you'll do is you'll actually plan things out. Okay, what does it take to get you to where you want to be or where you need to be when you retire? So you put people on the investment trajectory to hit that number. Then after they retire, you want to keep growing your money, and you have plans for that as well.
That's right. And you don't want to stop growing your money because you're going to need that interest.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to live off the principal. Try living off the interest instead of your principal. If you're living off just the principal, as it goes down, you're not going to have any more money.
Oh, you're just hemorrhaging money at that point.
That's right. You need that interest to live on. And most of my people are living on their interest. They've got enough interest coming in, it'll take care of them the rest of their life.
So when somebody is looking at this and they're saying, my gosh, you know, this is a win-win situation, why would somebody not start investing in life insurance policies?
I don't know any reason in the world.
Okay. That's kind of what,
because
I thought you were going to say, but I just wanted
I'm
looking for the downside.
Because, the downside is it could go over. It might go over 2 years or so, but the upside is look at all the ones that are going to come in early. Mm-hmm. Look at the early money you will receive, then the money that you will get on time, and it all equals out in the end.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had someone that their policy had went under, I guess it went over 2 years, and it came due. He made $50,000. He called me every day for a week.
Oh, boy.
See, he realized that it worked, mm-hmm. That he got his money, he got his interest, and he got a lot at one time.
And I'm sure once he got that first one and he understood how the process works, I'm sure probably at that point he just settled down and just kind of rolled with it.
He did, and he's very happy now.
Yeah.
It's just that first time scared him to death when it went over.
So for somebody that wants to get started, I know we talked about, you know, a lot of people this past week came in and they were ready to go. You went through the process and explained everything, but they were ready to go right then and there. You don't have to be. If you just want to go in and get some information, maybe learn a little bit, maybe take your wife, kind of sit down, just gather information, you don't have to be ready to go. But you do need to get the ball rolling, right?
That's right. And the quicker you get started, the more money you're going to make. And then we diversified where you've got a lot of different policies, a lot of people that have different kinds of cancer, different stories, you know, different lifespan. We may have somebody that's 12 months or 24 or 30, you know. We have all kinds of people from every walk of life that does have stage 4 cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's stage 4, we're looking at it, and we're looking at it hard.
And the ball is always rolling. So there's always opportunity. You're always bidding on new policies. There's always investments that are available. Right now, you have a ton of opportunity for people to invest. And this coming week, you've got availability for appointments. So one last time, Faye, what is the phone number that people need to call to make the call and come in and talk to you?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.